Turning your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Great, great privilege for me to be here. I love these offering Sundays because this is a Sunday that brings such honor to God. It's so exciting to see what God's going to do. And it's exciting to do what God's people are going to do by faith. I've discovered in my life that faith sometimes can be a little scary. How many of you know what I mean by that? I mean, I want to step out for God. I know I should step out for God. I need to step out for God. But doing it by faith. Now, here's what I want to tell you. You can trust him. He never fails, never. And you can trust what God is doing. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he was writing to a church that was inundated with the culture around it. They'd gotten into a lot of immorality. They got into bad practices. More than the church was reaching the city was reaching the church. And the people in that church became what I call edge experts. Now, that's not a Bible term, that's my term. Edge experts means the Christians there wanted to see just how close to the world they could get and still be on the right side of the line. So they kept nudging up to it. You can always tell when you're on the edge. You'll say stuff like, well, I think what we're doing is okay. I'm pretty sure it's okay. That means you're crowding the line. God never called you to see how close to wrong you can get and still be right. He's called you to see how close to Jesus Christ you can get. This church had a lot of problem. The Christians were suing each other. That's where it starts in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, I'm telling you right now, Christians are not to sue Christians. And it amazes me in our ministry at the Christian Law Association how many times people call and say, would you help us sue our church? Would you help us sue other Christians? And I say, you got the wrong people. First of all, you're in trouble with God because that's forbidden. And I tell them, if you sue your church, we will gladly defend your church because that's just absolutely forbidden. But Paul said, I want you to make sure you understand, Christians are not to sue Christians. And then he went on in this chapter and he talked about immorality. And boy, if there was ever a day when God's people need to be pure and clean, how in the world we've gotten comfortable with what the world even says. Now, this press conference, this news conference for the White House press corps, they're bold about their immorality, absolutely bold. And God says, I want you to be righteous. How many of you know Jesus said, be ye holy. Amen. Be ye holy as I am holy. So he talks about getting right with God. But then he comes to the passage that I want you to look at this morning in verse 19. He says, what know ye not? This is chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now, read no farther for a minute. The day you got saved, your sins were forgiven, heaven became your home. Miraculously, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will never go to hell because heaven is your home. But more than that happened, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. Did you see what it says there? Which is in you. If you're saved, and how many of you here know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Do you understand? You're not just heaven bound. You have the Spirit of God in you. He says, what know ye not? That your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Boy, now there comes the battle. We want to be like we're our own. And God says, no, 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 I purchased you. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify. When the world looks at us, they should see a glorification of something. Now, when you look at the world, boy, do they glorify their values. And God says, I want you to glorify me. When the world looks at you, when the world looks at me, would they say, gotta be a Christian? Look at what they're glorifying with their body and their spirit. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. God says, I'm commanding you as my child, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. If you would have run with us last week in our ministry, boy, I pray you to say, boy, Brother Gibbs and those lawyers glorified God. If I could have followed you last week and been with you, would we be able to say, boy, no doubt about it. I'm telling you, they glorified God. I like how I heard one preacher, a dear black preacher, say this. He said, to glorify something means you make it look good. Our job is to make the Son of God look good. You say, well, that's pretty simple. No, that's what it means. It means to put God in his right place. When we say glory, glory to God in the highest, what we're saying, let's get God in his right place. And we're here to make the Son of God look good. My question is, in this hour, how good are you at glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's? Remember, we don't belong to us. As a child of God, everything I am, everything I have belongs to God. And God says, I want you to glorify me. I've picked three things this morning to discuss briefly. How many of you want your life to make Jesus Christ look good? Hold your hand up, would you? Then I want to take you through three commands, because these are not suggestions in the Bible, they're commands. And there's many things that you could bring up, but boy, these three are just so pivotal. If you're going to make the Son of God look good, if you're going to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, here's the first one. You got to do it with your witness, with your witness. Every child of God is commanded by God to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Everyone. Well, you say, I go to this wonderful church, and boy, this is a phenomenal church. And boy, our church witnesses and our church reaches, but that's right. But God's called you to be a witness. Every single one of you. I wonder if last week you could say, you should have seen my witness last week. Or would you say, well, last week wasn't such a good week for that, I guess. And neither was the week ahead of that. And maybe neither was the week ahead of that. Now, I hope this is not you. Oh, I pray it's not. But nationwide, in our churches, less than 6% of the people ever witness. 94% of the Christians are sitting in the bleachers, never getting in the game. And only 4% do it with any fervency, any regularity. How's your witness? We've never had better tools. We've never had nicer looking materials. And sadly, we've never witnessed less. The fastest growing faith in America right now is Muslim. For every one we're winning to Christ, they're winning 13 to the Muslim faith. How can that be? Well, I'll tell you the problem. We're not glorifying God. We're not witnessing. Well, Brother Gibbs, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm just not good at it. I got wonderful news for you. Nowhere in the Bible are you commanded to be good at it. You're commanded to be faithful at it. I'll never forget, I was walking through the Chicago airport, one of the busiest airports in the world. And when you travel, if you travel much, you know this, you kind of zone out. You just are racing from one flight to another, and there's all this commotion. And I'm walking down one of these long hallways there, and out of nowhere, I hear somebody call my name. Brother Gibbs, Brother Gibbs! And boy, I turn around, and here comes a guy running up to me. I don't know him, but he obviously knows me. He knows my name. Oh, he says, you're such a blessing. You're such a blessing. I'm so glad you're here. I said, oh, praise God, I'm glad we're a blessing. I said, we do a lawsuit or something for you? He said, no. He said, I'm just glad you're here. That's the blessing. I said, oh, well, good. Glad I blessed you. I got to go. I know what to do with them. By the way, sometimes strange people come up to you on the road, okay? And I thought, nice guy, but boy. He said, hold it. I got something for you to do. And he's got two bundles with them. I mean, they're wrapped in paper with twine around them. And he sets them down. He said, I got to tell you something. He said, we just had our big giving Sunday. This is Monday. And he said, I purposed to God that I was going to give five a week. And he said, God said, I want more than five a week. I want you. Now, the minute he said five a week, I thought, I wonder what he means by five a week. I mean, he wouldn't be bragging about $5 a week. I don't think he'd be bragging about $50 a week. Was he bragging $500 a week? I said, you say you were going to give five a week, and I thought maybe he'd tell me. He said, yeah, five a week. But God said, I want you. So he said, I gave my five, and then I walked up and I put me in the offering plate. I said, you put you in the offering plate? He said, yeah. He said, I told the preacher, I've traveled everywhere. I've never witnessed anybody. Never handed out a gospel tract. He said, I never did anything. But he said, I put me in the plate. So I told the preacher, if you can bundle up some tracts, on the way, I'll go through Chicago, and I'll hand them out in the Chicago airport. And so the preacher gave me these bundles. He said, and all the way here, I got looking at those bundles. And I thought, boy, there's way too many for me to do by myself. And so all the way here, I've been praying, God, you got to show me somebody I know to help me hand out these tracts. And he said, the minute I stepped off the plane, there you were. You are such a blessing, Brother Gibbs. I said, oh. He said, now I'm no good at this. I've never done it before. I said, well, you want me to help? He said, yeah. He said, when's your flight? And I said, well, I don't have a lot of time, but I got a little. He said, well, this will be good. Right there in the middle of the hall, he rips open the top of one, reaches down, grabs a bunch, and people are walking both ways past us, and he's handing them out, and he's saying to people, you don't want to go to hell, do you? You better read this. And I thought, what happened to my name is Dave? What's yours? I mean. And he said, come on, Brother Gibbs, get with it. Now, I've handed out a lot of tracts, but never standing in the middle of the hall. So I pick up some, and man, as quick as I got mine, here comes a Chicago policeman. And he comes up, and he's talking to this guy, and he says, whoa, you can't do this here. And he said, yeah, I can, and he hands the cop one. And while he's talking to the cop, he's still handing them to everybody. And the policeman said, no, it isn't legal what you're doing. That guy said, yeah, he is. He says, my lawyer's doing it. And that cop looked at me and said, you with him? And I said, well, kind of. He said, are you his lawyer? And I thought, I don't even know his name. All I know is he's Mr. Five. Whoa. He said, well, if you're going to hand them out, you got to step over here. You can't stand in the middle of the hall. This guy that quick, oh, we'll stand anywhere. But while we're moving, he's just going to town handing them out. And people are reading it, and other people are walking up saying, what is that you're handing out? He said, well, here, you don't want to miss this, man. You'll miss everything. And I love how he would tell people, he never said you want to go to heaven, he just said, you don't go to hell, do you? And he's just doling them out. Now I'm over by him, and I said, can I ask you a question? When you said five a week, you give God 500 a week above your tithe? He said, no, I don't do that. I said, so 50 a week? He said, no. I said, how much do you give God above your tithe? He said, I give 5,000 a week. I said, that five? Whoa, sweet Alabama. He said, it started a few years back when I took God at his word. And God said, if you give, I'll give to you. And he said, my little business just took off. And he said, God is just, but God wants me too. We're handing out those tracts. Finally, he said, I got to go now. He said, let me know the next time you're going to be in Chicago. I'll be here. I said, I'll bet you will be. How about you? Jesus Christ died for every person you ever see. And Jesus Christ wants every person you know to know about salvation. Now, I'm for sending missionaries around the world. Boy, do we need to do it. But how about the people that live on your street? How about the people where you work? How about the people where you shop? Oh, my. How's your witness? A dear lady by the name of Mrs. Smith, her husband is a pastor out here on the West Coast. She was dying. She's in the state of Florida. She had no money, only a few months to live. And she said, would it be possible for you to get me, for a little less than $5, I could have a phone? And I can only call within the city. But if you could get me a phone book and a phone, I'd like to end my days telling people about what God did for me. And so they got it for her. That dear lady started just going through the phone book at random. And she'd call, and all she'd say is, I don't want to trouble you. You don't know me, but I'm dying, and could I chat with you for just a minute? I want to tell you about what the Son of God did for me and what he'll do for you. That dear lady won over 400 people to Christ. Somebody decided to do it. Not just talk about it. I doubt if there's anybody here this morning who would say, I wouldn't know where we were supposed to witness. Oh, we all know we're supposed to. Glorify God? Boy, the way we glorify him is by telling people of what Jesus has done. Write the second key down. Number one, you're going to glorify him. It's got to be with a witness. Number two, it's got to be with your prayer life. It's got to be with your prayer. I love these verses because, listen, Matthew 19, with men it is impossible. This is from the lips of Jesus, but with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God all things are possible. In Matthew 21:22, boy, you want to memorize this verse. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. I heard a wonderful preacher say, you can ask, believe, and receive. Or you can doubt, not ask, and do without. It's your choice. The most powerful thing in the universe is prayer. And God invites you to ask for impossible things in prayer. Impossible. When I interview people for our ministry, I always ask to see their prayer list. And I always ask them, what's on your prayer list that's impossible? Not difficult, not challenging, impossible. Because God invites us to ask for the impossible. Do you understand? The God you serve, it's only impossible with man. It's never impossible with me. People come out here and look at what all God has done here. this is impossible. But one man prayed, and other people joined him in praying, and it's just the beginning. Boy, what's been done is impossible, but it's just the beginning. More impossibles are coming. Wow. What's impossible on your list? How's your prayer life? No, I've never seen anybody with any kind of a prayer life that didn't have a great prayer list. I tell everybody I have a prayer list, and I have 62 things on my list for my wife that I pray every day. Every day. 62 things for her. And I've shared that list hundreds of times, hundreds of times. And if you were to read that list, you'd say, I want that, I want that, I want that. You would say, I want that 62 times for my mate. There's only one problem, you're not asking. And you know what God says? You have not because you, what? Ask not. Whoa. I know you love your mate. I know you love your kids, your grandkids. Do we love them enough to ask? Whoa. The most powerful thing in the universe is prayer. Tonight, have you prayed about what's going to be given? My wife has been such a blessing and a help to me. When we've had times like this, and we're going to give tonight. We love giving here. But she'll say, what has the Lord laid on your heart? And I'll tell her a number, and she's, oh, great. And she'll say, is that your number or is that God's number? And I find myself saying, well, it's kind of both our number. Mostly me and a little him. When's the last time you said, God, I want to give what you want me to give by faith? Tell me the number. Ask believing and you shall receive. Whoa. Yeah, but what if God wants me to give more than I want to give? Oh, prayer will change everything. Everything. Albert Einstein, the great physicist that gave us the atom bomb, lived in Princeton, New Jersey. He was at the Princeton University. And at the end of his life, they had a major conference honoring him. And they had thousands of physicists and academics there from around the world. And they had him stand up to speak. And the question was, what's the next thing we really need to find out about? What Albert Einstein did floored him. He said, well, since you've asked, he said, here's what I think we need to find out about. He said, if the Bible is right, and if prayer really does what the Bible says, we need to find out what prayer can do. And a hush went over them. They didn't expect that. Would you like to see what prayer can do in your life? Truly do. Well, Brother Gibbs, I've gotten so comfortable living with just minor amounts of prayer. Oh, don't do that. You're not bringing honor to him. You're not glorifying God. You got to glorify him with your witness. You got to glorify him with your prayer. It will change everything. Write the third thing down. You got to glorify him with your giving. With your giving. Boy, I trust you understand. Tonight, we're not giving to the pastor. If you want to give him a gift, that's your business. We're giving to God. This is God. And boy, when we come in here tonight, doesn't matter how we do it, we're saying, here, here. Now here's what he says. You give to me and I promise you, I'll give back to you. I promise you. And he never breaks his word. There's not a person in this room who hasn't had somebody break their word to you. There's probably not a person in this room who at some point hasn't broken their word. God never breaks his word. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Is your giving bringing honor to God? Well, Brother Gibbs, my finances are strapped. I've gotten myself in a little bit of a predicament. Well, let me tell you what God's solution is. Give. Give. You want to get God in it? It starts with you giving. Now the world says, that makes no sense. You don't want to do that. No. I tell everybody, if you're in financial trouble, number one, you tithe, and above your tithe, give offerings. And God will honor that. I've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times. How many of you remember the JCPenney stores that used to go all across America? JCPenney was a young man, and he had a booming empire of stores. And it all fell into trouble because the Depression and everything hit. And he went from having a great business empire to where it all crashed. He called his stores the Golden Rule stores because he said, we're going to treat others the way we'd want to be treated. But losing his money and all the catastrophe he had so absolutely demolished him that he ended up in the hospital. And while there, a pastor talked to him and led him to Christ. And he asked him, he said, what do I do now? He said, my financial empire is in a shambles. And the pastor said, give. You want to get God in it, give. JCPenney left there and did that. He started out by giving his tithe and 10% on top of that, then 25%. Then 50, and finally 80 and 90% of everything that he made. And the stores just mushroomed, and suddenly there was a chain of 3,000 stores. And when people would come up to JCPenney, they'd say, how'd you do this? He said, I didn't, God did. They said, what do you mean God did? He said, I gave, and God kept his word. Boy, I want to tell you something. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. This morning, how's your witness? If it wasn't what would glorify God, if you can't stand up and say, boy, to God's honor and God's glory, my witness brought great praise to God last week, fix it this morning. Glorify Him. How was your prayer? If you can't say, by God's grace, my prayer, oh, Brother Gibbs, we're commanded to witness. We're commanded to pray. Yeah, but I got a lot of trouble in my life. We all do. Prayer is the answer to everything. What's impossible is only impossible with man. It is never impossible with God. Now, he says you got to ask in faith, believing. And if you say, well, I just don't think prayer is all that powerful, well, for you, you're right. Because according to your faith, the Bible says, so be it unto you. But you got to ask in faith. By the witness, by the prayer, and then by your giving. Tonight, the devil's going to make a pitch bid for every one of us. I don't care who you are. Maybe you've been saved for decades. Maybe you're a brand new Christian. Whenever we get ready to say to God, here, the devil wants to step in and say, now, whoa, be careful. Don't you do that. And you know what God says? Just take me at my word. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I want to walk out of here tonight saying, Lord, boy, I pray I brought honor to you. I pray that I glorified your name. I belong to you, and I want to glorify you in my body and in my spirit. The Bible calls us to be doers and not hearers. And this morning, I want to just ask you this simple question. Would you be willing to change some things, to be a doer of what you've just heard? If you forget every word I've said, that's of no consequence. Don't forget what the Word of God says. We're commanded to do these things because of what the Son of God said. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Oh my, by your grace, by your power, we want to be the people who show glory to you. We want to glorify you. That's the command. Every one of us.